Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Whether you're speeding, you've gone through a red light, whatever traffic violation, you may be asked to provide a sample immediately into an alcohol screening.
Well, that didn't take long. The OPP said they were going to start doing that. Very unprecedented move. And I knew it would be contagious. And now it's coming to Ottawa. There are a lot of things we could talk about philosophically. Do you think this is okay? Do you think it's right for the government, the state, whatever you want to call it, big picture, to check you for alcohol without any real reason to do so, without some kind of erratic driving or smell on your breath, or that they could just pull you over for any traffic violation? Might be you didn't pay your traffic license plate fee. Pull you over, next thing you know, you're getting a breathalyzer test. Kira Lundrigan is a criminal defense lawyer and partner at Abergel Goldstein & Partners LLP and joins us to talk about that. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for having me.
I think it's really interesting that we haven't seen, if it's been legal, and I don't remember reading about any change in the law, if it's been legal, why police forces haven't done this all along. What's your first blush take on this? Is it legal for police forces to do this?
It is. The federal government brought in new legislation that came into effect back in December of 2018 with amendments to the criminal code that allowed for any police officer to require a driver to submit to one of these ASD demands without any need for the officer to have any reasonable suspicion that that driver was impaired by alcohol or drug. So these powers have been around for many years now. The change...
Obviously not used very much. I talked to a couple of cops even yesterday who didn't know about it.
Fair enough. And the change is in how it's going to be implemented now. So this is more of a policy debate than it is a legal debate. It's been around, but the question is, why hasn't it been used and should it be used? More so than the legality of it.
Yeah, although passing a law doesn't necessarily mean it'll withstand any kind of test if it got its way to the Supreme Court. It seems like in this country, our Supreme Court has accepted the fact that you can be randomly pulled over for a spot check and tested with a breathalyzer. If I recall correctly, the balance there was, look, as long as you don't hold people too long, as long as you know, it's quick and it's easy and you move along, then, you know, that's not an infringement on our rights that weighs against the benefit of getting drunk drivers off the streets. Is that my understanding correct about that?
You've got it exactly perfectly right. And in addition to that, it's not only if you've committed a Highway Traffic Act infraction. The police also have these broad powers under the Highway Traffic Act to stop a driver, even if no infraction has occurred. For example, just to check to see if they're a licensed driver or to check the roadworthiness of the vehicle. So it could be used in those instances, even where you haven't run a red light or you haven't blown a stop sign, for example.
Yeah, I can't say I'm jumping up and down and being angry about this, civil rights and all of those things, just because drinking and driving. I'm out on those roads. My children are out there. They're driving. I kind of understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, this feels close to random checking by police. It feels like it's very close to the line. Is the difference here that I need a license to drive a car, therefore I don't have complete freedom to do whatever I want?
Well, you still have freedoms. Yes, driving is a privilege, and that's codified in the criminal code. But it's not without any limitations to the state infringing. And these stops aren't as unintrusive as the police forces are making them seem. It involves, you know, getting pulled out of your vehicle. It involves providing a breath sample. It may be in the back of a vehicle, a police cruiser, for example. And if it is a drug-impaired offense and they're going to do those roadside tests, that's not necessarily as easy, and often the police bring you back to the station. So it can be time consuming, and it's not
it's, yeah, not, I believe the OPP said they're not going to do the marijuana testing because it takes longer than the quick breath test. But see, as you describe it, though, it's creeping up to that line, isn't it, where, you know, I have a right to get where I have to go, to not to be late for work or an event I'm at, just as a citizen, not to be held up for an undue amount of time, and to be made You know, if you describe it, I mean, are they going to actually? I'm driving along. I've done, maybe I didn't come to a complete stop at a stop sign or something. Next thing you know, I'm in the back of a police car. I don't like the feeling of that.
Exactly. When you haven't had a drop of alcohol in your system either.
Right.
Right. And the other thing is they do this, the police are able to do this, and they're able to do this without having to provide an individual rights to counsel. And if you refuse to provide this sample, you can be charged under the criminal code with refusal, which is a criminal offense and has penalties with it as well. But it's not simply, absolutely not, I'm not doing that. You could say, for example, well, I'll do it, but I want to speak to my lawyer first. And that can be interpreted as a refusal.
Yeah, you want to talk about time consuming.
Exactly. Or if you...
So hold on, I want to clarify that, Kira, because you're taking this into a lot of interesting territory here. You're really making me think about it. So if they had suspicion that you were drinking and driving, I could see that that would justify holding on to you for a while, taking away your freedom temporarily, testing you, and that that might be okay. But if they have no real reason to believe and you... So let me finish my first thought. So you go through all of that and you refuse a breath test. Well, we had reason to believe you're drinking. You refuse the breath test. There's a punishment for that alone. So that makes sense. But if I refuse a breath test, even though you had no real reason to ask for one, how do you punish me for that? That feels like a line crossed. Does the federal legislation from 2018 cover that?
It does, and it would be a criminal offense if it's made out to be a refusal at the end of the day. But refusing, say, no, I'm not doing it, that would constitute a refusal. That would be a criminal offense, and you would likely be convicted and fined for it.
Yeah, you don't want to have a criminal record. That's a serious thing.
Absolutely. And it's not only a refusal is not only saying no, it could also be the inability to provide a proper breath sample. So if you have a medical issue, you have bad asthma, for example, you can't provide a sufficient breath sample, but they don't believe that you have this medical issue, then you can be charged with it. You'd have to go through the courts, which could be costly to you, whether it ends in a conviction or not. But you could also just be nervous. You know, you're a mom driving her kids to school on a Monday morning. You haven't had a drop of alcohol. The kids are in the back seat. You get worked up when the police officer pulls you over. You're hyperventilating. You think you've done something wrong. And because you're hyperventilating, you can't give it a sample. And then all of a sudden you're charged with refusal as well. Right. So there's these other issues that stem from it.
If I'm reading you right, as a lawyer, you are a bit concerned about this. You think it might be a bit of an overreach.
Concerned. Yes. I'm also concerned in how it's going to be applied, because Acting Sergeant Gagnon, in her press release yesterday, she was asking for consistency, yet she was saying that they're going to give the individual officers the freedom to decide how it's going to be applied. And I believe how she said it was the officers at the beginning of the shift that would decide which particular infraction that day would have the mandatory ASDs.
Yeah, but that stood out to me as well. That sounded like a lot of freedom to individual officers and a lot of room for abuse there.
Exactly. And it's contradictory, in my opinion. And there would be no firm guidelines. And it's also each individual police service seems to be deciding how they're going to implement this. And is this really what Parliament intended when they made these changes to the legislation back in 2018? And I would
Well, that may be a question not. That the Supreme Court gets asked one day, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for making us think about this. You know, it's really easy in this situation to go, well, it's drinking and driving. We need to get them off the road. But that's how you lose a democracy as well, right? You can justify taking away a little bit more freedom and giving more power to police and other officials a little bit at a time because it's always justified. Then you wake up one day and you live in a police state. So
exactly. You know, we're all against drinking and driving. You know, I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But it's the infringements on freedom slowly and slowly that concerns me.
Thanks again, Kira. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Kira Lundgren, criminal defense lawyer, partner at Abergel Goldstein and Partners LLP. It's the Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Bill Carroll.